What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
On May 10th, Mother's Day, A man who wouldn't give his name, called the Buscando Corazones Nogales, a volunteer collective in Sonora, Mexico, that searches for the missing in cartel territory. He told them Nancy Guthrie was buried in the Mariposa Arrows, a stretch of desert west of Nogales, roughly 70 miles south of the Tucson, south of her Tucson home. He described a specific area near a stream. He described clothing. He gave landmarks. And on May 16th, 15 volunteers from that group went to the coordinates with shovels. They found nothing. The caller reached back out with revised directions. A different spot, same region, though. They searched again on June 10th, and again, nothing. A third search is scheduled. The Pima County Sheriff's Department says it has not been contacted by Mexican authorities. The FBI has said nothing. The U.S. law enforcement is involved. No U.S. law enforcement is involved in any of these searches. And the caller bypassed over the $1.2 million in combined FBI and family reward money to make that call. So there's a behavioral detail in how this tip was routed that connects it to every false claim this case has ever produced. And that connection changes how you read all of them. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss, because that's the brand new one that's coming down right now. We're also going to be discussing other theories this morning of what's going on in the Nancy Guthrie case, someone in her orbit, and the possibility of it being staged. That's the other one that's circling. We're going to give them all fair time, and we're going to discuss all of them with respect, with, okay, let's talk about this. Why are people going down these roads? Do they have some legitimacy? Are there areas that we should be talking about more? Joining me to do all this morning, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, my co-host, and Todd Michaels, also joining us, our producer, to have this discussion and dig into to where all this goes. Monday, Jennifer Coffendaffer is going to be with us to also dig in on any developments over the weekend and to discuss some of these new developments as well. Gentlemen, this is a new one into Mexico. We've heard rumblings here and there in the past. There is some, there certainly is legitimacy to this area being a grave. That's without a doubt, because that same group that went to go search for Nancy Guthrie has already recovered about 32 bodies in this exact same area since the beginning of the year. So
Rex Heuermann visited there.
Rex Heuermann and his cartel buddies. it is a mass grave area. So the idea that there could be a body here, your odds of finding a body are pretty high if you're going to go do a little digging in this area. The odds are going to be Nancy, you know, not so much. But there's a lot of questions that come here. The ransom notes, we went to media outlets. The tip went to a volunteer group. Neither went through law enforcement or a tip line. And the caller had over $1 million in reward money available to them. One could say, well, they don't care about the reward money. They're just trying to do the right thing. And maybe, I mean, I get it. I might do the same thing if you had that sort of knowledge. But what is it? What is that move right there initially, Robin? The fact that if they have this knowledge that they're so sure, go dig here, that they go directly to this group and they don't go through a channel that would have professionals involved, but it would also have reward money involved. But it also at the same time may have a resource problem involved of we're getting thousands of tips. You're just one of 1,000. We'll go dig in 2030. This group, they're out there with shovels, you know, basically right now. Thoughts?
Yeah, it just shows if you didn't go through law enforcement, you didn't go through a tip line, you didn't do any of the established methods that are billboarded all over the place, it means that they don't want their credibility challenged. And so with no credibility, and when you throw out there that there's a lot of other bodies there, then they can maybe reasonably make the claim or think that they could dupe someone and think, well, one of those bodies is it. But again, if they're not claiming or attempting to claim the reward in any way, this goes into just like, you know, just in JonBenet Ramsey's case, 100,000 tips came in on that case. Yeah. All were just felonious. And so same thing here. People are just looking for notoriety. They're looking to get attention. And this is one way to do it. Again, I'm not saying it's not, but as of right now, since it's not going through the channels that actually could do some verification, it is just it's just another of thousands of leads to me. Is it just
someone that likes, I mean, to get notoriety? Okay, we don't notoriety of just look cause and effect. Like I made this phone call. Now look, they're going and looking. I get some people can get some joy out of that. I used to prank call a local radio station with fake cancellations when I was younger. You know, just to hear them read off, you know, the Our Lady of Guadalupe fish fry is canceled this week because they were out of guppies, you know, and things like that. And they would read it across town on the air. And then I'd laugh hysterically. It was mainly just for me. And then people are like, what? The guppy fish fry, who's doing that? And I found great joy in it. But that was, you know, harmless. This is a missing human being. Is there a lot of that where people, they're not getting anything out of it? It's not like he's going to profit off of this, whoever made that phone call. Is it just the sheer joy of I was able to harness control of this group of people to go do something that is utterly pointless because I made it up and I'm feeling powerful?
So I would have thought that on the fly until I didn't know until you actually just said it, Tony, is that when I did my research on this, I didn't know they actually found all these other bodies. And so let's do our thought experiment. So here you are as an individual, and if this person knows, so I doubt this was random, the fact that there's 30 other bodies there or more. And so what's the likelihood they wanted attention to be drawn to the fact that there's 30 bodies buried here, and the only way to get people to take a look at it was to claim that Nancy was one of them?
Hey.
So there's a lot of motivations, I think, that can come into play besides the notoriety of it. But a lot of times, one thing we seek as a human being is we want to be valued, and we want restitution, we want justice. And if no one's paying attention, so imagine yourself, you're down in Mexico in a cartel area, because that's what it sounds like it is. You've been, say one of your loved ones or a close associate of yours was a victim of the cartels, and you're screaming at the top of your lungs and no one's listening. What's one way you're going to get people to listen? It's Nancy buried there.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Yep. I didn't think of that.
Robin for the win.
On that one. I mean that's a very real possibility it's not just an empty I'm gonna be an asshole, you know, and call in the guppy fish fry is canceled because there's a snowstorm coming through. You know, that's different. There is it's not just pull the lever because you can pull the lever. It's not a prank. It's there is an inspiration, there is a reason to do it.
And think about this too, Tony. So if this person is afraid of reciprocity for bringing attention to it, but you want attention to it, you would avoid law enforcement from doing a due diligence on who called this in and stuff like that. You know, so granted, we're getting leakage about who it is, but at the same time, it's not coming through law enforcement. So I think there was, again, very little data points on this, but just from what you said and just what we've covered, I could see potential other motivations other than notoriety on this one if there's other people buried there.
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, go to the angle of, like I said first, of like, why not try and get the big reward? It's right there hanging Lawford. I mean, there's a couple motivational pieces to that. I mean, there could be one of, I don't want the money. I just want to do what's right. If it were me, I would take the government's money. I wouldn't take Savannah's. I would, you know, I hope a lot of people would be like that, where it's like, I'll take the fucking 100,000 from the government if I have the information. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to, I think it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's kind of weird to be like, and give me $100,000 of your money, Savannah. You've already gone through hell. Let me empty your coffers more. Fuck that. Like, no, keep your money. But the other element to that of not just being morally righteous, which I kind of doubt that's what's going on here, but it's a possible tendril, is the idea here that if you do have information, there might be a high likelihood that you may have criminal charges pending against you, or could be ratcheted up pretty quick if you're associating with the folks who did this or the person who did this. Mm-hmm. And you raising your hand going, I have it, because they're going to have to verify you. It's like government's not going to be like, let me Bitcoin you the $100,000. They're going to, you know, make sure that you're legit, and they're going to find out information about you. And they're also going to find out any reason they can to not pay it to you. So you may not want to open yourself up for that.
And also, so say you did call it in. And, you know, on it again, to me, it's sounding like either this individual has someone they loved that was buried there, or it's a potential cartel war going back and forth, trying to bring heat on one of the others towards each other. Huh. And in that case, or in either case, if this area is a dumping ground for a cartel, and all of a sudden that cartel finds out you got a dump load of money because it was a tip that might have led to Nancy, you're now got a bigger target on your back. So I would just say, do the hit on the cartel who dumped the bodies there and then run away.
Yeah. The first search, what about the fact that they called in more than one time? You got the first search, nothing. Calls back with new directions. Then nothing again, too. I mean, there's a lot of times searches begin, and it takes days, weeks to end up finding what one person who did have valid information gave you to go look for. Ground is a lot to cover. Even with 15 people, you know, if you're digging or anything like that, we just think of it. Go to your backyard, even with 15 people, and go, let's look for a body. Like, if you really want to thoroughly search, it's going to take more than a day.
And it might not even work, because remember, the case we covered with Bob Mata? With the claim 70 bodies buried in the well?
Never find them.
Someone who says they witnessed it, and a close family member, and other people saying, oh, yeah, I can definitely see that happening. So when you're dealing with a lot of territory, a lot of ground, and this person, again, when we don't have exact information come from the individual, all you can do is work with the data you have and understand human behavior. And all we're trying to do is establish intent. What's the intent here? So if they didn't go for the money, well, the intent was not the money. People generally don't put themselves out on a limb like this, especially in a cartel area, if there's going to be a threat of violence against them, unless the benefit against that is high. And so what would benefit them against that if someone else is going to be paying the penalty for the information they're providing? That's kind of just my initial take on it.
What about the thought process here? And it doesn't really go into the idea of the tip necessarily being... I mean, maybe it does go into the idea of it being legitimate, but if you did kill Nancy Guthrie, does it make sense to go and dump her body in an area where the cartel dumps a bunch of bodies, hoping that maybe Nobody's really going to identify her. She's just going to be looked at as one of the other 33, or if she were to be found there, 33 bodies in an area that is just part of the cartel. And it just kind of gets lumped into that and not, not examined further. I don't know that adds up. I don't know that you'd even want to be putting her body anywhere near other bodies are going to be found, because the goal for the body not to be found to begin with, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, and also, in order for it to be dumped where the cartel bodies are at, you'd actually have to have knowledge that these are cartel bodies buried there, which means that Porch Guy was associated with the cartel, and there's not one behavior expert taking a look at Porch Guy saying, that guy looks like an organized cartel guy. He looks like a local, as Jen Coffendever said, a mope. So it would mean that we'd have to see some sort of tie that we haven't seen in absolutely anything yet to a cartel. I'm sticking with my original theory. I just don't, as of right now, from the data we have, I live in the world of maybe, but this maybe is leaning towards, I think it had a different motivation to do this.
Todd, what do you think about all this? What about this line of thinking of this tip that came through of her possibly being down there in this country, in that part of the country? I don't know. What's your take?
I mean, I think all along we've all kind of thought this was a very simple situation that we're trying to connect dots on, that we're just not seeing the dots at this point. If anything else out of this, I'm just blown away they found all these bodies in this location. Like, to me, that's a bigger story than thinking Nancy Guthrie is sitting there. It would be wonderful, sad, but wonderful if they did actually find her in this location and had some closure and maybe find some DNA or some evidence that might point to a perpetrator. But to be honest with you, it seems like just another wild goose chase that we're on with this one.
Well, I mean, I think it also really demonstrates, I mean, you're talking 70 miles away from her house is where they're finding 32 bodies buried. The fact that that's even happening, the fact that they're the infrastructure of the country and the authorities and in that area of Mexico, that's allowed to happen, that can happen, that there's that much lawlessness, that there's that little control of the population and of the corrupt and criminal behavior that's going on there. I mean, that tells you the environment as to which this case is taking place within. It's 70 miles away. If 32 people can be randomly, seemingly buried over by 70 miles from Nancy's house, it seems that there's a bit of out of control behavior going on, and there's not really a big grasp on it. There's not a real stronghold that the authorities have, and I think we've already known that in terms of lawlessness and people doing horrible things and getting away with it. So that's part of the environment too. Because I think a lot of times we think of our world, of where we're at, and if this happened in my backyard or my city. Tucson's right there by the border. So you have America, then you have Mexico, and you have that level of just chaos right there. So, and once somebody crosses that line over there, good luck. Like, you're probably not going to find them anymore.
Yeah, and Tony, I've been trying like hell to get verification of 32 bodies. There's not a credible source saying it too, so it's coming from other things too. So we always got a caveat. It's like, hey, you know, the credible sources on this, it may or may not be accurate. So but now it would fit the motive and intent of someone actually calling us in without actually going through law enforcement, like our theory would stand if that indeed did happen. But I just want to make sure we caveat that, because I'm not seeing any sourcing right now saying it's credible on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been reported in a lot of different places and a lot of different and honest to God, who the hell knows exactly what is going to be factual for this area or that area. But that's the current reporting on it. And, and that's what we're looking at. So it's a fascinating place. They're going to be doing another search here, I believe, the 16th of June. So they're not giving up. The group that's down there that's looking has said they're not over with this. So who knows? I mean, it can't completely write it off as being nothing, but can't really put it under the category of something.
It's definitely created a new arm of interest. Not just on the Nancy side, but on what the hell else is going on. Because now I'm researching the group that's actually doing the search too.
Yeah.
JLR investigates. Jonathan.
Yeah. I would take anything on that person's thing. Anything. No.
Well, that's who's popping up on it.
Well, there's a lot of beyond him. Yeah.
That sounds like a new NBC fall series that's coming out. What was it called?
No, don't even repeat the letters. No. Not that. Curious to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Be sure to weigh in there. Let's go to another area of this. The theory with the most former law enforcement voices behind it, it says the man on Nancy Guthrie's porch or the person who sent him had access to her life before any of this happened. Nancy was 84, lived alone, kept a routine, and had a circle of people moving through her world on a schedule. Caregivers, service workers, contractors, delivery routes, investigators have publicly cleared her family. But the family is not the orbit. 16 days before Nancy vanished, an 83-year-old named Gail Crane was taken from her Kentucky home by a caregiver who'd been fired the day before, found 100 miles away, bruised, bleeding, with neck swelling she couldn't explain. That's another area that people are talking about, and I'm not bringing it to the table to go, see, this must be it. I'm bringing it to the table because people are talking about it. So let's parse it out. The blueprint is documented. The question is whether it maps to Tucson and whether one detail in Nancy's own porch kills the theory entirely. So let's parse it out for a moment. And it's easy because this is not the first one we've seen where, see, there was a kidnapping of someone or someone taken against their will or an old person disappeared within 100-mile radius of Nancy Guthrie. Wow, this must be connected. Do you know how many people are within 100 miles of where Nancy Guthrie disappeared? It's size of more several countries. There's a lot of people there. And when you have a lot of people, things like this happen. Obviously, you look for signs, you look for smoke, and a lot of times it's not even enough smoke coming off of a lighter. So when an 84-year-old vanishes from her own home, the first suspect, the first suspect list isn't strangers. It's everyone with a key, a schedule, a reason to be on that property. Let's walk through that. Take me through how the list gets built in the first 48 hours and how fast it grows before investigators start cutting down who we don't need to be looking at when something like this takes place.
Well, typically, You're going to start as close as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Law of averages research says that if there's going to be any harm against anyone, it's typically the family. You know, you start looking there first and then you start looking relationships, you look at behaviors in order to clear family, you're looking at alibis, you're looking at timelines, you're looking at means and methods and intent. And that's how family members then get cleared. And then you start looking at then what we call the concentric circles of access. And when it comes to a case like this, where looks to be from the porch guy, a recon, it looks to be familiarity, but not over familiarity. In other words, just the small data points we're getting, to me, from the very, very get-go, I've definitely been on board with this was premeditated, mm-hmm. but not necessarily premeditated by someone who actually was the caregiver or was the gardener or was the pool boy, but someone who talked to the pool boy, the gardener, the caregiver. I think this is potentially one degree of separation from Annie and Annie's family, but someone who's a close relative or associate with someone who had that direct knowledge. Because there was enough familiarity to want to target Nancy, but not enough to actually say there's value here. Because I think that's why this thing looks so mysterious to so many people, is because no one can conclusively say what exactly something was targeted in this home. That I think everyone can agree upon. The it comes down to, was Nancy herself targeted or something be stolen from that house targeted? I know you have a lot of people around that Nancy was targeted for retribution or for ransom or whatever it is. which when you start boiling it down, it falls out of the averages. How it was done, the number of people involved, the behaviors involved, the time of day, the way the ransom, supposed ransom, was given. It's just never done that way. And then you do on more on the 60% side, was if you just look at law of averages, targeted for a very specific robbery inside the house, cash, medications, or jewelry, and nothing was taken in the house. But it looks like 42 minutes from some beginning to ending of this event, which is documented, someone was looking for something, but there was nothing of value. How come there's nothing of value? So in other words, both you go down both sides and both completely fall apart with there's nothing to be gained. There's literally nothing to be gained because both sides are completely dumb. And so that just brings us down to the simple fact of, think about this. When have we ever covered a case where the person doing the wrong was smart? This is not an outlier. This is not going to be the one case we cover in years that says, wow, this one was a really smart guy. He really got away with it. No, this is just another friggin' idiot that heard from his buddy, hey, old woman's got money tied to Savannah Guthrie. You ought to go after this house.
A question I would have, and we don't know the answer to it, so it would be kind of conjecture at this moment, but I'm curious, you know, what it would mean to you if it went either way. If there was anything in the house of value, I would imagine Nancy Guthrie had some things of value in that house. I don't think that's a crazy statement to make. I would imagine at her age, wedding ring, jewelry, things. I don't know. I mean, I could be completely wrong. It could be somewhere else. But okay. So if there was something of value that was easily accessible, even if you accidentally killed her, even if she's knocked out or she's incapacitated, clearly there was blood that was found on the way out of the house. So something happened to Nancy. So she's injured. You're taking her out. Would you, I don't know what the stats are on this, but you might know this stat, man, of leaving the valuables behind and just taking the, oh shit, Nancy's aware of us with us. Wouldn't you take your valuables too? If this is the original goal, if you're going to have to deal with her, why don't you take your payday as well?
You would think so if you weren't an idiot.
Then so, you add that up to the equation.
Yeah, so remember, this is an idiot. And if the idiot had it built up in his mind because he heard from a buddy that there's things of value in there, you're going to keep searching until you find things of value. So I did the research on this. Typically, an 80-year-old woman or elderly person living at a home alone, on average, again, this could be an outlier, but on average, at the very most, they have maybe a couple $1,000s in cash and jewelry worth, if she had any gold jewelry, because gold right now is selling over $4,000 an ounce. I watched Gold Rush and I just looked it up. And so even if she had gold jewelry, and actually Annie was a jeweler. So if you heard from a family friend that Annie's a jeweler, maybe she got gold jewelry or something that she gave her mom, you know, that there might be something in the house. On average, elderly people only keep a couple $1,000s worth, if that, of jewelry. So if you're looking for a big cash payday or a jewelry payday, or you went rifling through her medicine cabinet thinking that there's going to be some sort of medications, the medication street value for the heart medication that she's most likely on was also only in the hundreds of dollars. And so if you went in there with a preconceived notion of a big cash payday because your moron friend told you it was there and you didn't come across anything, and the elderly woman wakes up and you shove her aside and she's fragile. So you see, it's very easy, much easier going down the road of that. And also, if you're going to steal something because it looks like this person had some reps of doing some B&E or entering houses, even if it's targeted for her, you're going to go for things that aren't traceable, which is only cash, high cash. In other words, you're looking for a safe. You're looking for a sock drawer that has something hidden in it. You're going to ignore the stuff that you think is petty crime. If you went through all this effort and security risks to do this with your reflective crap that you're wearing. So again, I'm just going on the low end idiot still of targeted for something, didn't find it, shit went sideways, panic escalation, remove body. And I know it's contrary to a lot of other people, and that's fine because I live in the world of maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I mean, honest to God, the reflective stuff is really what gets me to one of like, this guy's not a genius at all. I mean,
and that's what Jim Clemente says too.
It's like if you're going to, like, if someone shines a flashlight on you and you reflect, like, It's not a good look for a burglar. Like, you want to be the one that blends in, that doesn't, that people go, oh, there's nobody here. You're not wearing reflective clothing like you're out for a nighttime jog and you hope you don't get hit. Like, it doesn't make sense. But again, lack of reps, lack of experience. It just doesn't.
And it goes to right what Wingsley just said right there. What the heck were they specifically looking for? Exactly. Yeah.
And maybe they don't know.
I think they were told something that was there, secondhand knowledge from someone who was a worker or something, a buddy, who says, the old lady must have this. She's elderly. She's related to this person. It's a beautiful house. So when you have secondhand knowledge of something that's there and you went through this time, effort, stake the place out, and you go in and you're like, there's nothing here. It's a clean house because one person lives here. And you start looking.
How deep can the investigators go, or do they typically go, I mean, on something like this when you they're not getting leads, in terms of digging into folks like that are hired for jobs around the property, whether it be gardening, whether it be whatever, somebody that's coming in, paid position to do a task around her property that, you know, might know somebody like, hey, you want to go to that house? Being that guy, or woman, whoever, because that the tendrils out of that are far and wide. But so how deep can they go in on that? I mean, obviously there's the immediate, the ones who would have actually been working on the property. You go check those people out. But then do they go, you know, from that immediate person? Let, again, this is just pure conjecture. I'm not saying a gardener in general, but let's just say gardener. Okay, this is the gardener. Gardener knows five people. There's probably a hell of a lot more. Do you then go to all those five people? And then, I mean, how far do you parse out the tendrils before it starts, like, violating people's, like, rights? I mean, people can say no to the questioning, but how far do they typically go? I mean, and you have resources involved too, and limited resources.
Yeah, so here's typically how it works is guaranteed they talk to everyone that was associated with Nancy in any way whatsoever. Pool people, gardener people, healthcare people, you name it. They interviewed them all.
Yeah.
And because we don't have more yet that we're aware of, the likelihood that the leakage, remember, when we talk to people, friends, associate, family, we share what we did during the day, we share who we're working with, and friends and families and colleagues that we're talking to, they might pick up on things and they might have agendas that we're completely oblivious to. In other words, if say your friend is a gardener, pure hypothetical, you say your friend's a gardener and this gardener works on like 50 houses during the course of a week. And he starts sharing, you know, when you go home, you go out for a beer or something. They start, oh yeah, by the way, well, I have Nancy's house. And then you just start talking about it. The guy doesn't say, I should target this house. And your friend doesn't say, oh, you ought to target this house. They might be completely oblivious to other side motivations as an individual. So they just gave leakage for targeting for this one person. And unless you actually have something specific. So say that law enforcement interviews that gardener and they say, all right, who in your circle of people, friends, and associates do you think might do this? Or who do you think would target this individual? Or who do you think have a proclivity to doing that? But this friend of yours that you're just sharing, like you share with everyone in your life, you have no clue what their agenda is. You're going to have no idea. And without being able to articulate for law enforcement to go up and get a Title III and get cell phone data and all that, because there's reasonable expectation that this person might have done something, you can't go any further than that.
Yeah.
And so if the person that is given the leakage of information is completely oblivious that they gave that information, it's going to hit a dead end.
Yeah, so they're not going to actually just say how many people in your circle know that you work for Nancy Guthrie. I mean, they're not going to go deep into it.
Well, they could. But then where do you go from there? Unless they can, and even if they said, well, I had a conversation with this person about Nancy. If they go interview that person, they'd have to then have more to be able to get more. In other words, in order to ramp up sophistication and intrusiveness of the technique, in order to move from just an interview to get cell phone information to be able to do a trash cover like they did in Koberger's case, be able to follow someone, and in order to get more intrusive into someone's life, we have this beautiful thing called the Constitution. You can't do anything without probable cause. And unless this person as an individual gives you more probable cause to be able to use a more sophisticated intrusive technique, you're not going to get it. And so it's going to be very, very challenging. And especially if this person that was the gardener is protecting their friends and family because they know that they might not have the proper status in the United States, or they might have other legal things going on. Whatever it is, they're not going to share anything about who their friends and associates are.
And to be clear, in case you're just joining us, we're not saying it's the gardener. This is all pure conjecture.
Oh, yeah, I said pure conjecture. Yeah, hypothetical.
Pure conjecture on someone who might be in the circle. I'm going to go with Mr. Plum in the conservatory with the candlestick.
Yes.
But I mean, that's what I'm wondering about, is the logistics of doing that. Because if you're looking at the periphery of who's in Nancy's life, that would be, it would be like the gardener, or it would be someone who maybe, I don't know what she had coming and going from her house for her services that she would
and
be
it might
using.
Have been nothing.
I mean, she might not have any. I don't know.
I think there's a pool company involved.
Yeah, I know there's a pool company, but so you have that, or whatever it may be. So it's basically looking at the periphery of the periphery to see who's in that lane. But that's a very hard group of people to look into. But like you're saying, and there may be just leakage of life that, you just, for example, I have a great crew here that does my lawn work. And there's a bunch of people that come and go. I know the guy that runs the company. I know him because I interact with him all the time, but he's got a crew, and it's a rotating group of folks all the time. And hard workers, but I could see, he probably doesn't know them all in great, detail like he would his own family or someone who's been with him for a long time. So as those folks come and go, I could see, you're out for a beer or you're whatever, you're just chatting at lunch. And her mom was that Today Show. Oh, okay. And you don't know what the other person's, may just go, oh, that's neat. You may be pointing it out because it's a neat little factoid. And you don't know that person may go, oh, there's a lot of fucking money right there. And then they go and tell. But how do you get to that? How do you identify the person in the periphery of the periphery that would then have someone in their own periphery that may be the person who says, I'm going to go do this? That's the challenge. And because of the Constitution, that damn thing, we can't
thing,
just
man.
Go and interrogate any random person we feel like.
Well, you can interview a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And typically what happens at this point, and this is why it seems to be stalled right now, because this is old school, no forensics in the sense of DNA or anything. This is just old school interviewing, which really, really works very well if you have a great set of interviewers, investigators. Yep. And what typically happens is when you start sensitizing an environment of people that want to, there's the key, that want to help solve this in that kind of community. As you start sensitizing that environment of, hey, they're looking for someone that might be associated with this case, then you get leakage. In other words, if say the hypothetical pool guy was out, like you said, having a beer with someone, giving some leakage, people now are going to, in that circle around that person that might have had that malintent towards Nancy or doing something, they are typically the ones then that call in the tips that, hey, I don't know, man, JoJo was acting really different this week, and they call the tip line, that's how these things get solved. But if that circle is afraid of law enforcement, doesn't like law enforcement, or that person is so bottled up and so controlled because they have a lot of reps doing this, they know, keep their mouth shut and give no leakage. They're so familiar with this. They've done it so much. They look so comfortable doing these things like they did on the front step. It's totally blown off by the people in their circle, so there's no tip to call in.
Yeah. And that, I mean, and you're dealing with a group of people that have reason not to get law enforcement involved, not for anything to do with Nancy Guthrie, but for their own reasons of legality in the country, things of that nature. You're not going to want to get them mixed up into your world because there may be repercussions for you that have nothing to do with this. While you're just trying to do a good thing, it's going to bite you in the ass. So people are going to act on their own self-interests as they do. And that's to be expected. So it ends up going into a pool of folks that may not be as forthcoming as they'd even like to be because of their own self-interest. And that's understandable. I get that.
And to Race and Rodeo's comment there, why has no one recognized Porch Guy? He has things evolved. I think someone has recognized Porch Guy, but it's not in whoever recognizes in best interest to share that information.
Yeah.
And that's what it keeps coming. So fear is the greatest motivation of human beings. Mm-hmm. We take the path of least resistance, and like you're saying, Tony, we're always going to act in our own best interest in terms of our safety, security, and prosperity from our perspective. And so if you have a group of people or one person that might recognize Porch Guy and it's not in their best interest from their context to give that information because maybe they're making money off the books and they don't want the IRS coming. Maybe they have a mm-hmm. status, you know, our country's not right. Maybe they've done something else illegal that they don't want to highlight. Or maybe they just had a really bad taste working with Pima County Sheriff. They want to say, screw them. I mean, you have no idea what it could be. But for whatever reason, from this fact that we don't have anyone now, that's what someone's thinking. Or going to, you know, our good friend Jennifer Coffin Devers Singh, maybe it was just some big, you know, cartel thing somewhere that targeted her. I mean, which, you know, they wouldn't share it anyway. So there's a lot of reasons.
One more on this lane before we go to our next one, because it's one that's been popping up and I see people, you know, some people making videos like, oh my God, look at this. And that's the Gail Crane, 83, had Alzheimer's, taken by a caretaker, fired the day before. So, I mean, there's already context here. Found 100 miles away with injuries that she couldn't explain 16 days before Nancy. I mean, does a blueprint like that map into anything on this case? Why do people find that to be so compelling when they're, I mean, other than old woman abducted? Other than that, I don't see any remote connection. And guess what? Old people go missing and get abducted all the time.
We've said this so much times on the show. As human beings, we're the only organism on this planet that loves to see patterns where they don't even exist. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this is. It's an event, and we want to try to build a connection because human beings, we love a mystery. It's why we explore, because exploration is part of our genetic coding, because if we didn't explore, we'd still be living in caves trying to spark fire and create the wheel. I mean, it's just what we do for survival. Mm-hmm. So we're always trying to understand the what is around us. We're trying to solve these mysteries and we're trying to innovate through these problem-solving things. And so things that help us do that is recognizing patterns, because when we recognize patterns, we can survive, we can hunt, we can thrive. But also part of that downfall of that is we see patterns where there really aren't patterns. They're just an anomaly. Or in this case, it's not even an anomaly. That is just one of thousands of people that go missing, elderly people that go missing in just that manner. I mean, I guarantee you, if folks just, like most of the time when on the show, as I'm doing, I'm Googling and AIing the hell out of stuff nonstop so I can actually see the stats on it. Do it for yourself. You'll see it's not uncommon.
No. Now, your thoughts on this part in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. There's one more theory we're going to discuss here. Look forward to continuing this part of the conversation there. Links are in the description. This next theory in the Nancy Guthrie case doesn't argue about who took Nancy Guthrie. It argues nobody did. It claims a masked man on the porch was placed there. The blood was staged. The propped open back door was set dressing. And the doorbell footage the FBI recovered from back-end system is itself part of the arrangement. I know this goes deep, but unfortunately, it's a heavy theory out there. It circulates every single day. Comment sections, Reddit, social media, posts with tens of thousands of engagements. And most coverage, they won't touch it. We haven't really touched it because it is ridiculous. But let's talk about it. Maybe there's something here. It's because something seems rather ridiculous on the surface. Doesn't mean there's not little nuggets, little tendrils that may make you think a little deeper, may make you think over in this way, in a way that maybe no one has yet. So let's talk about it. Not to endorse it, not to mock anyone who believes it, but to run through the same test every theory gets. What would it actually require? What's the precedent? And what evidence would it take to earn a serious look? The precedent answer is zero. No staged abduction of a person over 80 from their own home exists anywhere on the record. And the family posted $1 million reward, an open invitation for every person in America to tear their lives apart. So for staging to be true, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program with us as always, as we break this down. For staging to be true, somebody manufactured a masked man for the camera, placed blood at the scene, propped open a back door, and held it together through months of federal scrutiny. Walk me through the logistics of actually pulling that off, Robin, other than just saying
well, before
no.
the before you even get to logistics, we have to look at what would be the intent.
Yeah.
You know, so doing such a move is extremely risky because you're actually going to be defrauding police investigations, which actually comes with a penalty. Depends on the county, depends on the state. But, you know, what was it? Remember the one guy said he was assaulted by MAGA and he...
Oh, yeah, I forgot who that. Yeah.
Yes. So when you do fake things, it actually has a cost because every time you enlist investigators and, you know, resources of the federal government or local government, there's a cost associated with, and they're going to charge you with that cost. Mm-hmm. So in order to do something like that, there's got to be some sort of benefit you think is worth the risk of your safety, security, your freedom, and your financial well-being. So first you got to look at what would be the payoff to do for staging something like that. All right, so looking at the fact that there's zero on that, now we'll look at the logistics of it. I can't even think about how or why logistics is just because in order to do all those things, you have to involve a lot of time, energy, resources, people, DNA, blood DNA. So let's just examine Nancy's blood splattered DNA on the front steps. As many experts have testified, you know, Jennifer and other forensic experts, the way that came out looks like coming from the lungs as
like
she's
coughed. Yeah.
She's either crawling out on all fours or she's over porch guy's shoulder and it's just, you know, dripping. Mm-hmm. An average mope, you know, some idiot that looks like porch guy doesn't know that. You know, just think about it. If you're trying to stage this, your level of sophistication of knowing, this is why it's so funny. In order to know the types of things you need to know in order to stage something this complex, you wouldn't need to do something this complex to try to get away with it. You'd actually have a really good job someplace. And so everything just keeps falling apart because the level of sophistication you need to do to pull something like this off means that your level of sophistication to be able to function healthy in society and have a really great job and paid a lot of money for doing this kind of shit means that you wouldn't be doing this to begin with. So it keeps evaporating that way. And just to the original question on the last segment, 49,000 and 55,000 people are reported kidnapped a year, 692 of them are 70 and older. So yes, that's very common anyway.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, to get to the crux of this, what would the motivation be? Stage disappearances, they do happen. Runaway spouses, insurance plays, custody wars, but a staged abduction of an 84-year-old from her own home, no precedent for this one. What would be a motivating reason for someone to do that? I mean, look, I'm going to say this, and in no way am I accusing the family whatsoever. I do not think that, but if we're talking in a conjecture sort of way, I would think somebody would be wanting to get rid of someone to get some sort of payout that is connected to them or to get access to something that person would be preventing you from accessing. Mm-hmm. And to do so, the only route would be them dying. And if you don't want to wait out the death, which I mean, quite honestly, that's another thing I don't think a lot of people are talking about here, is it's like, oh, if somebody in the family did this, and again, I'm not saying that, she's 84 years old. She's in very frail health. The clock was already, we were at the 11th hour.
Why would you take the risk?
Why would you take the, just like wait a couple months or a year? I mean, it's not far off. Right. And I'm not saying to be disrespectful. It's just what reality is.
Right. That's why you rule out the family really fast. So there's no motivation.
Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense. And I'm assuming they've parsed it out already and there wasn't any factor to do that. So you would need that factor. You would need a clear reason why you would need that person removed. And then you're going to say that person is thinking far enough ahead that they're going to put authorities on a wild goose chase after somebody that looks like this is a kid. But there's still somebody involved here. I mean, so even if they are running the play for somebody else who wants Nancy dead, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. I mean, it still happened. There's still somebody abducting Nancy. Right. It's more so motivation that changes. It doesn't necessarily like staged or not. The results are the same.
Right.
So, and adding that whole other layer of reasoning behind it, it just doesn't add up, I guess, you know.
I just come see it. And whoever's done it, I saw the one comment who to cover up an accidental death by abuse.
There'd be a pattern. There is no pattern.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. Again, you go down that road of, all right, so let's entertain the thought, because that's what we do. I live in the world of maybe, because that helps us keep open-minded and flexible with new data that comes in. And we just examine it. There'd be leakage of abuse. There'd be reports of abuse. Yep. If there had been an insurance policy ever involved in this, or a large amount of money that people be battling over, which is typically what we see in things like this, we'd be entertaining a lot of different things, but there's nothing here. It's an elderly woman that was frail, that was on a pacemaker, who was beloved by her family, who took her out every Saturday night to dinner and played cards every Saturday night before she went to church on Sundays. I mean, this was very common. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, it's, and I think that's the thing with this case is, you can look at this just like we're talking right now, and there's an idea that can come through, like, oh, well, it could be covering up for abuse. Sure, if there was abuse, but there's not. Right. Like, there's a lot of things it could be. But the thing is, a lot of people, especially when there's no information, which we're in an information void on this from day one, is anything that just it could be suddenly becomes a lot more capable in people's minds, even when that capability truly isn't there, in terms of the action making any sort of sense. And I think that's why it's so many people are jumping on some of these things. And then once that gets parsed out, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's something. And when there's nothing, something is everything.
Well, when we don't find answers to things as a human being, we never want to think that it's because we can't figure it out. We got to think it's more complex than our brain can handle. So we've got to overcomplicate it. But in all these cases, give yourself a lot of grace. It's because these people are so stupid, you can't relate to them. I mean, it literally comes down to that. You cannot, I mean, we cannot really reasonably, as our audience and we critically think through all these different options. And when you can't think through what's going on, you know why? It's not because they're smarter than us, it's because they're even dumber than we can even imagine. And I'm telling you, this is another case of someone really, really stupid that did this, and that their brain was just in autopilot mode. They'd have a few reps, it went sideways, and they're complete idiots. And they panicked. Again, the law probability is low on the panic escalation, removing body for that, but you're dealing with an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. When it comes down to that just a real simplistic level of thinking, that's probably our answer at the end of the day. I remember an experiment that was done when I was a kid. We had an assembly at my elementary school, and I think it was Mr. Lauber, I think was his name. He was an older gentleman that was like one of the administrators, and it was an experiment to show just different ways of thinking and how kind of thinking evolves from kindergarten to I think we went to eighth grade in that school. And he asked the same question to the kindergartners and to the eighth graders. And the people who got it right, the kindergartners, because it was a very simple equation, if you will. And by eighth grade, you got some more life reps. So you're overthinking it. If I remember it correctly, and I hope I don't butcher it, it was like, okay, there's a pea, like literally a pea, like the vegetable. It's on a roof, a wet roof, a roof, and it's raining, and it rolls off the roof and it lands on the ground. What is that pea now?
On the ground.
It's wet.
Right. There you go. Wet on the ground.
Yeah. It was like, it's growing a new pea plant. It's doing this. I mean, because the answer is very simple and the question is very simple. But we tend to overthink it. And that's saying like, hey, throw the Nancy Guthrie case in front of a group of kindergartners. Hey, that'd be fun. Hey, we're not going to learn the alphabet today. We're going to learn about kidnapping elderly people. What do you think happened, guys? But honestly, you might get, I mean, sometimes if you go to more simplistic thinking, you may get a more accurate answer.
And so, and to the question here, if this guy's such an idiot, how did he get away with it for so long? It's really because it's really this simple. This person knows that they get their information through leakage of their friends and colleagues, so no one knows what they're sucking in. And the second thing is, they do their shit and never tell anyone.
It doesn't take a genius to shut the F up.
It really, it's literally, there's so many so people also tend to treat cases like this to hit the news that these are one-offs, that it's uncommon for cases like this not to get solved. No, it's actually more common that they're not solved.
It is.
Because there's thousands of these types of cases a year that get unsolved. Why? Because the things that give up cases like this is leakage. Always leakage, whether we're going to get DNA leakage because they mishandled something. But this guy looked pretty well covered up because he has some reps of doing this. I think he knew the house he's targeting, obviously, but hadn't had firsthand knowledge of that house from what we're seeing, what was being reported. And he just has reps of just shutting up. He didn't tell anyone what he was doing. He did it on his own and it went sideways and he cleaned up his mess. I really think that's simple because that is typically what happens in these cases. Again, my conjecture, my opinion, that's how I explain all of it. He didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Because if he told someone, there'd be leakage. Then you'd have someone call in a tip line.
I think, I agree. The one thing they did right is they shut up.
Or they're dead.
Or they died.
Yep. Yep.
Or they're dead.
Yep.
My gut immediately on this was they're probably dead.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, because I thought if it is deeper, I feel like they're dead. If there is more than one person involved, because that one person, the guy who broke in, could be the one to expose if there is something deeper here. Or it's just the one person. There's nobody deeper to go, and they just don't want to be caught.
You know, and I've taken a lot of data on this. You know, every time we were about to do a segment on this, I scour again, and I went back to Jim Clemente. I tend to go on what the profilers say and kind of accumulate it, because Jim Clemente, you know, he had some good observations on his thought about it being one person. I've always been on the fact that it's most likely one person. If you're looking at either kidnappings or B&Es, it's generally one person, maybe two for if it's a targeted kidnapping. But again, we have no leakage, especially, and we haven't covered the angle also of the retribution against Nancy or Savannah. Mm-hmm. 80% of those cases have leakage prior and before. 60 to 80% have those cases have leakage before the event, you know, from online things, rage, anger, discontentment, whatever towards the subject, and also after, because they want to keep tormenting unless there's death. So I've discounted that on not totally, but in the world of maybe, because there's no leakage that was that. So you go back on the other side of this being one person, so they're either shutting up or they're dead.
We're going to cover more possible angles on this on Monday morning.
Jen's got a lot of good ones.
With Jennifer Coffendaffer. We're going to talk about this latest thing that we were talking about earlier of the search that's going on in Mexico. But also Serta K, the company that documents the wrench attacks, they've listed this now on now take it for what it's worth. I don't know how much this means, if it's just somebody said, well, we think it's this, so we're going to document it this way. I don't know. Jen's going to explain it more, but Serta K is literally listing this as a wrench attack in a new investigative report that they put out. I'll send you a copy of it. I don't know.
So I did research on this.
Did you already do this one? Okay.
No, I didn't do it. Okay. Send me the report. So here's research I did on the probability of wrench attacks. So wrench attacks are when they target someone, generally when they're going to do a wrench attack, and this is where they're going to coerce someone to give up their crypto. In the law of probability says that there's no knowledge that this person or someone associated, like either Nancy herself or Savannah, has crypto, because these people, just like in a ransom attack, they're going for quick in, quick out, not discoverable, and they want to coerce someone giving up that crypto on the spot, not taking someone. And so I know they're listening in this thing as a wrench attack, but this does not fall into the probabilities if you're looking up probabilities, because there's no known knowledge that either Nancy or Savannah had crypto, because they always target someone that they know has crypto first or could get access to it very rapidly being the key on this one. And
that's the thought process. I think that here's a caveat to that, and we'll get more into it on Monday. There's different ways of thinking about this. If you're younger and you have crypto, and maybe you're not really big on investing much or whatnot, but you got your crypto wallet on Coinbase or whatever, that's how you think of people interacting with crypto. If you're dealing with someone who's 40 plus, 50 plus, who has investments, and maybe some of that involves crypto, they're not doing it on Coinbase. And they don't have a wallet that's just like, oh, hey, bro, let me pay for dinner on my crypto wallet. No, it's going through an investment account, a broker, or they have someone managing it. I'm sure Savannah's not sitting there. But I do wonder, stupidity, if that would play in where somebody is in an attempted wrench attack thinking she's got money, she must have some crypto, and they're stupid enough to think that Savannah's just going to jump on her phone and go to her crypto app and, oh, let me just send it to you right now, because that's what they would do. That's some of the people in their circle would do, and they don't think, oh, that's not what a super successful 50-some-year-old woman would be doing.
I just keep thinking back to looking at Porch Guy, looking like, oh yeah, he looks like a crypto guy.
He doesn't look like a crypto guy either. No, but if it's a but if he's the dupe for someone else,
then we'd have leakage.
But is it like a startup wrench attack group? It's like, hey, we heard about wrench attacks. Let's try this. It's like, what do you mean these people don't operate on a Coinbase like I do?
Play it out. So all right, yeah. So you had a wrench attack because you wanted to get crypto, you wanted to get Nancy's crypto or Savannah's, or you wanted to get crypto, and you're going to use Mope Guy to get it. And here's what happened: you didn't get it. All right, so it didn't go sideways. What's the only other possibility to get money? Let's give some data on where to find Nancy, and I'll collect the million.
I don't know. I mean,
it just fell apart again. See what it does. All these things if you just play it one more step.
I'm very interested though in understanding why. And I think we should maybe look into getting someone from Certa K on the show to explain to me why. And maybe that's an email that goes out after, why they listed this as that on their documentation.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear their rationale.
Especially when the FBI's not saying it's that, the Pima County's not saying it's that, nobody is saying that other than them.
So help me understand this. Is that company a company that can benefit from notoriety and marketing?
I don't know the answer to that question, I would think, but I don't know. The only thing I know about them is through Jennifer Coffendaffer bringing up the word. So there'll be a lot of questions for her on Monday about that. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that conversation. We will continue diving deeper into the Nancy Guthrie discussion. And if you have any questions for her or us or anything, drop them in the comments section, and we'll try to get to them as we continue this on Monday. Substack and YouTube, great place to leave those. If you're looking for a great book to read this weekend by the beach while you're sitting around in a hammock sipping on a Corona as the waves crash in, I don't know, it's summer, so maybe.
And if you read it, please
said.
Leave a review on Amazon. It does a lot for the algorithm. I appreciate it much. Thank you.
Go on to Amazon and leave a review as well. So do that out. Check it out. It's not all about me. It's also on Audible as well, or wherever you get audiobooks. So do check it out. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. Great great conversation with everybody today. Thank you for reading the chat for weighing in. And if you missed our live, you can still drop your questions and stuff. We do read them in perpetuity. Until next time, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.